Blog Talk Radio.
You can keep. This is what I brought. You may forget me. I promise to depart. Just promise one thing. Kiss my eyes and lay me to sleep.
I'm your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and we are going to be joined by Kevin Harvey today, but before that, we got Dave Prazik on the line for about 10 minutes. Dave, how are you doing, Dave?
What's up, Ed? Doing pretty well. If my cell phone's breaking up, cut me off and let me know, and I'll move, just so I don't ramble on and be an unintelligible mess for a long period of time.
Well, that could be entertaining, so I'll just play it by ear here.
Okay.
But we are a couple weeks away from the last Shimmer tapings, and I know this is a real hectic and stressful time for you right before and after the shows, and just how is your mental state at this current time?
Before the shows is more hectic than after the shows, because at least they have come and gone at this point, but I don't know. We're kind of in the post show period, and we're at the post show period as after we have had a very long period of time between the last time that we released a video release of any sort, be it a DVD or an MP4 or anything. So as a result, we're kind of trying to recover financially. I haven't made it that much of a secret on social media the past couple of days, particularly. We rely on a combination of the live gate plus video sales to cover the expenses, the great expenses of having talent from all over the world on these shows. And we really need to, and I know this is what fans have been asking for, and it's what we really need to do so that we can continue going forward in the future with shows. We need to get caught up on these video releases. So my editor, David Puente, is editing like a madman and has instructions to edit until his computer breaks or he breaks, whichever comes first, and just keep going until we get caught up on this stuff, because we need to release a ton of video content during the winter months if we want to do more than just the WrestleMania show coming up in Orlando next year. Because we'd ideally like to do a back-to-back weekend of shows, one in the Chicagoland area, and then the Mania weekend show on April 1st in Orlando. But in order to do that, we need to kind of make some money back that we lost. We lost a ton of money on our shows in Chicago a couple of weeks ago for various reasons, not just because we don't have DVD releases out, but the live gate, we expected it to be a lot more than it was, and we were running a very expensive venue, the Logan Square Auditorium, which is 6 times the price of the Berwyn Eagles Club. And, you know, but you take that risk as a wrestling promoter that you might not get the crowd that you're expecting, and we didn't get the crowd that we were expecting. And we need to do what we can during these winter months to bring in some revenue and hopefully releasing a ton of video content that people haven't seen yet. You know, the people that were there live saw the matches when they happened. But other than that, even though some of the content's a year old, it's going to be the first time that people are seeing it on video if they weren't there live. It's still new content if you haven't seen it yet, right? But it did happen a year ago in some of these instances, such as, you know, Daisy Hayes and Lacey coming back, you know, for our shows, you know, at the end of October, a little over a year ago, in Berwyn.
Yeah.
But we're getting all that stuff done. Fonte's working on volume 78 right now, which is one show away from that show with the Daisy Hayes and Lacey returns and stuff like that. So, you know, we're doing our best to get caught up, and you know, we're going to get as much out as quickly as we can.
So basically, what you're saying is no pressure on Puente, but the whole future of Shimmer is dependent on him.
Not
at
all.
Moment.
not that the whole company relies on how quickly he can edit or anything like that. No, but he works quickly when I tell him to. But like, he does the first edit of the shows and then sends it to me, and then I tell him to change a bunch of shit. So a lot of that is him waiting on me to tell him what to change. I know how much pressure we're under to get some stuff out and start bringing in some revenue. So trust me, that's all we're doing these next several weeks is editing shows, and I'm revising them. And I have Hector, our artwork guy, working on, you know, DVD covers. He did a fantastic cover for volume 77, which I posted on social media earlier today with the Matthews versus Madison Eagles matchup. So
yeah,
you know,
we're doing what
we can to get caught up. That's what we need to do, and that's clearly the biggest drawback in Shimmer currently is that we fell behind on video releases. So as soon as we can get caught up, we get back on track. So
yeah, I saw the cover. It's a little different than your normal covers. I mean, it looked really artsy there and fancy. So hopefully
you mixed something that might be thought of as just like a throwaway action shot of Madison Eagles selling and Matthews with the baseball bat that was stolen from Jessica Havoc earlier in the show, you know, wielding that, and then above them, post shots of them from the match. It's really good. We posted it on our Twitter account at Shimmer Women if anybody hasn't seen it.
Okay. Now, Dave, every taping, there seems like there's some controversy. You know, you have the streamers controversy one time. You had that one asshole who took some ass shots
one time. Yeah. Somebody was taking pictures of everybody's ass and posting it, but
yeah.
I don't know who that was.
We won't name names.
We didn't have that
issue
in November, I think. We didn't get back to that.
Yeah, he made sure not to post anything until after the shows. But this year, it seems like the big controversy was bed bugs. What happened there, you know?
Nobody knows about that except the wrestlers. The hotel that we were using, which we will no longer be using for the talent, happened to have a bed bug situation going on. Not in all the rooms. We had like 12 rooms for all of our crew for each night of this four. It ended up being a 4-day weekend if you count the Rise Day. And of those 12 rooms, I think 4 of them were infested with bed bugs. We should have taken the hint that in the breakfast area of this hotel, there's a main room, the breakfast area, and then there's like a back room, and the back room was completely filled with mattresses from wall to wall. We couldn't even enter.
Oh, wow.
I wonder why they had extra mattresses on hand. Not like they had some sort of infestation at their hotel or anything like that. So I'm working on getting some of that money, you know, refunded from the hotel. We have photos documenting bed bug bites. We're never using that place again. So
yeah, I saw the pictures Spinelli posted, man. She got like ravaged.
Yeah, she was all over them on social media. But I want to make sure I get some of that money back before I completely call them out on everything. But we're never going to go back to that.
Well, next taping, I've been staying at the Hyatt Regencies the last two times, so I could put up a couple of
those.
That wouldn't be a problem. Yeah.
$200 in the Hyatt Regency? What are you?
I got it.
You're the roadway man. $50, right?
Well, I got the Hyatt Regency for 2 days for $240 is actually what I got it for. So it wasn't too bad. The last night I stayed closer to Midway, but we got Kevin Harvey actually calling
in.
You
were living the life with the Peach Machine. That's what you were doing.
Well, Peach Machine and then our other friend from my other buddy, Tyler from Texas, he was with us. But Kevin's calling in, so let me get him on the line, and I'll get you guys online here for a couple minutes together.
Okay.
No problem. Kevin, can you hear us?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, cool.
So, Kevin, haven't seen you in a while.
I know. How's the last 15 minutes of your life been, man?
Wow. Yeah, we were out having a few beverages, talking about the pro wrestling in preparation for this evening's podcast.
Well, Dave, you said you could just do 10, so we're pretty much at the 10. But is there anything else you'd like to pass along before we let you go?
I just want to reassure everybody that our goal during these winter months is to catch up on the DVD releases and to get them out and release the content. And we don't have, other than the Mania Weekend show April 1st in the Orlando area, I don't have anything else to plug specifically Shimmer wise but Kevin has a hell of a lot to plug in terms of Rise coming up, especially those of you who might be listening in the Los Angeles area. We have a Rise event coming up during late January, which Kevin will fill all of you in on.
Yeah,
awesome.
So if everyone could let me know what hotels have bed bugs in the Los Angeles market now, that would be fantastic.
Okay, Dave, thanks for calling in, and I'm very confident that there will be a Shimmer taping the week before WrestleMania weekend. So
we'll do our best.
I'm confident.
We'll do our best, and obviously the support of the fans. So.
Yeah, I have a feeling Flinte is not going to choke and ruin Shimmer, and he'll save the day.
Yes. All right, have fun, guys.
Thank you, Dave. Hello, Kevin. How are you doing today?
Oh, I am fantastic. After you have a few drinks with Dave Prazak, how can you not have a good night as that just keeps moving on?
I'm glad you actually did this because, like I mentioned to Dave before we went on the air, I was getting kind of worried about him. I thought I was going to have to call somebody, but I'm glad he's in higher spirits than he was yesterday.
Well, when you start to do things like review the business of pro wrestling, and I know he's been watching probably somewhere in the neighborhood of like 76 hours of consecutive footage of Shimmer for the last few days, it's real easy when you get to that completely sleep-deprived state of the pro wrestling promoter to start to go a little negative a little bit on some things.
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine, I mean, how difficult it all, because there's so many things you have to do, and I'm sure now that you're doing Rise that you're in some, kind of the same boat as far as you have to do so much stuff. Basically, this Shimmer taping, because I've gone to the last three, this year, you guys did something different. You had an event the day before. Unfortunately, I was unable to go to Chicago a day earlier to attend it. I really wanted to. But basically, you had an event where you had a seminar and a show basically featuring young girls. And can you tell us just to start how you got the idea to go with this? And it seems like it's being very successful at the moment.
Yeah, right now there's definitely, I don't know that I would call it a bustling financial success, but let's just say there's enough room to continue doing what we are doing. But this all kind of stemmed from in the summer of this year, I was away from wrestling as a whole, really, for a little over 2 years. And when it came time for me to come back and see where I could contribute to wrestling, there was no question in my mind that if I'm going to go back, maybe on a limited basis to start off, where do I want to go? And I want to go selfishly where I have the most fun and where I feel like I add the most value. And that was really for Shimmer. Yeah, I could kind of get back on the same horse, on the same saddle that I was in before, kind of on the creative end of things and some of the production end and, you know, obviously an in-ring announcer. But I thought that there's probably a little bit more to offer. So I had an idea when I jumped back in that it, we now know, came to be known as Rise, Developing Tomorrow's Women Athletes. And it came from a place where right before I came back, I'm watching, it was an NXT special of some kind, maybe it was just a weekly episode, and I kind of had this epiphany of, this is pretty much like Shimmer Volume 50 on my TV right now through the WWE Network. It's like, okay, these girls, oh, different name now. Like, okay, yep, she's, know her. And I thought, well, with all the different things on the horizon and the level of talent that is in Shimmer and the level of focus that WWE is very apparently and outwardly giving to women's wrestling and very heavily rumored to be giving to women's wrestling, you've got to have a pipeline of talent to deal with what's, in my mind, is the inevitable. I've been alive long enough to have kind of seen or read in history, if I was too young, kind of how that we saw once before that there were different great places to go and territories and things where people were known and had a high profile. But then what happened, guys, when all the talent got swept up and went to the then WWF? What happened to the territories?
Now, when you were getting ready to do the seminar, basically the head speakers were Soraya Knight and Colt Cabana, and I believe there was quite a few Shimmer talents there also. How did you decide what the seminars were going to focus on? Were they about work rate? Were they going to be about psychology? What were the main aspects that you want to hit on to teach and improve with these girls that attended?
I'll tell you, I personally did not have any agenda specifically in terms of, okay, let's teach this, let's teach that, because at the end of the day, as much as experience as I have in wrestling, I am not a world-traveled pro wrestler. So that's where Colt and Soraya came in. Those were phone calls one and two. Like, those were no-brainers for me. Those are people who I know firsthand that I've known for a very long time. I've seen them actually training people. I'm very aware of their training reputations. In my mind, that was the easiest place in the world to start. And I gave Soraya and Colt complete, like, I told them, do whatever you feel is best. Like, the only thing that I had in mind when I was starting to, I've been scouting the talent since the first person sent me their, interest letter. So in my mind, I thought, okay, I'd like to see what we can do to maybe get some more tag teams, but I didn't necessarily have this, agenda or like, oh, what if I put that person with that person? That was the only thing I thought in watching people kind of grow through the training we were doing before the seminar and then the seminar itself. Let's see if we can't maybe get a tag team or two out of it. That was kind of the only preordained thing that I had in my mind was maybe we need a few more tag teams. Beyond that, I gave complete, I don't know if creative control is exactly the right word, but I put the control for Soraya and Colt and let them kind of divide the group. And Soraya took half the group in one part of the Eagles Club. Colt took the other half into the other part of the Eagles Club. And then we kind of had a halftime and a switch. And the girls both got a couple of hours with Soraya and a couple of hours with Colt.
Oh, that's cool. When I saw that you had Colt and Soraya, I was thinking to myself, I mean, you got two great workers, but when it comes to the aspect of psychology, there's two, especially with Soraya. I mean, there's nobody with better women's psychology than Soraya and Colt. He's just a master of doing. He can get goofy stuff over no matter what it is. I mean, he's very good at that. So, I mean, I was thinking, man, those girls are going to learn so much about psychology. It's going to be unreal, and it's a good thing for them.
Well, and when you look at the seminars, the idea is, and clearly Rise is continuing, you've got some plugs to get in before the end of this, but as Rise continues, wrestling is a business built on, it's a subjective art form based on opinions and perspectives, and there's no one person that's going to teach you everything. But through Rise and some other things that are currently kind of in development right now, we're going to get a whole lot of people in wrestling, a whole lot of different perspectives from people who I would say are the top shelf of talent that is not currently contractually obligated to something bigger or better.
Now, when you set up the seminar, you had so many spots to fill. Were you at any time worried that you were not going to be able to fill these spots? Because I think you did fill them up pretty quick. I think there were some changes. People might have backed out or were unable to make it, but it seemed like you pretty much had it. You filled it up. So did you have any worries about that? And how did it go? How did it go as far as you know everyone signing up and making it to where it worked?
I'll tell you straight out of the gate, I didn't have time to worry about that. I'm not exaggerating when I say that there was a little bit of scuttlebutt around people in wrestling because it's not like I just poof said this was online one day. Like, I certainly put some bugs in people's ears. I had one person send me money before I'd actively said there's a seminar or who's training it. Someone just blindly sent me an amount of money, and I kind of had to backtrack and go, okay, what are you hoping to get out? Like, what do you think you sent me money for? Rise was kind of ready, fire, aim in that regard. So things happened a little bit backwards, but in my mind, I thought maybe about 20, because I was also thinking in an 18-foot by 18-foot wrestling ring, there's only so many people you can fit in there at one time without getting real cozy. And so very fast, I kind of set a cap of, let's see if we can get 20. And it was like 3.5 or 4 days, 20 sold out. So I was sending these panic emails or maybe it was Voxer messages to Soraya and Colt, because at the time Colt was actually in Scotland when we were kind of getting this all on the tee, ready to go. And I was trying to paint it. So I'm dealing with two people who I can't exactly just like, you know, walk next door and talk to. Two, they're at least 6 hours ahead of me because I'm in Central Time and they're in the United Kingdom. So managing the time warp and people that I can't exactly just pick up the phone and call right now. That is just, guys, we've already kind of sold out, like, but there's clearly a demand for this. Like, what can we do? So ended up getting a hold of Soraya first, and so we just decided, okay, well, let's raise the cap, and then we hit that again, and then we raised the cap again, and then we sold that out again. So we ended up having a couple weeks out before the seminar even happened, 40 girls were paid, signed, sealed, and a couple didn't end up getting delivered because there were some personal situations in their lives, but I had a cancellation wait list for a couple of girls that had inquired after I'd already had things sell out to 40. And then there were a couple of girls that kind of found out, I think they just found out about the seminar late in the game, that they said, oh, do you have some slots? And it just happened to be two of the girls that were last minute entries emailed me within, I want to say 15 minutes of two other girls saying, Kevin, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to make it. We just wanted to let you know. So it ended up being a non-issue.
Well, that's good. That's really good. In fact, I think as soon as you had announced it on Twitter, I actually tweeted one of the girls, Delilah Doom, and I think she signed up like maybe within an hour of when I tweeted her about the whole thing.
Yeah, she was one of the first, I want to say, five people in. That much I do remember. She's definitely one of the very early birds in the race.
Now, I've seen like a lot of Delilah Doom. I saw her like when she first broke in, and at the time, of course, she was very, very green. And as far as like work rate, I'm not saying this to be mean, but she really wasn't that great. You could tell she had a great attitude and was willing to learn, but she could, right off the bat, she was connecting with the fans. And I've seen her not too long ago where she's improved greatly and she still has a connection with the fans. What did you think of the Delilah Doom as far as her, you know, listening at the seminar and her being on the show?
I mean, Delilah had made an impression on me before we even ever met face-to-face. Anybody that said, hey, I'm interested in the seminar, I didn't just blindly take people's money. Like, there's certain disclosures that I shared with them, so they kind of understood what they'd be getting out of that. And some of the things that I asked for them for information was basically so I could kind of vet who's going to the seminar, because as much as I could take an arbitrary amount of money from somebody and put them in a seminar, I don't just want to have somebody that says, oh, I've been trained by, you know, unknown Joe in Poughkeepsie and I've had, you know, I've been wrestling 20 years and I've had five matches. Like, I was able to do a little bit of scouting and kind of checked everybody out when they were inquiring. And there were a couple different matches of Delilah's where I saw probably close to what you're describing, some earlier Delilah Doom. And was it this, you know, five-star wrestling classic? It wasn't Flair Steamboat, but I saw the connection with the crowd. And then when we did the first of the social media campaigns, the You've Got Two, you know, every girl gets 2 minutes to cut a promo. What Delilah did was completely different from what anybody else did. It played to her character. She was into it. And there are some things, and I won't go off into insider terms and sort of things that I look at for, you know, when people are engaging an audience through the lens of a camera. But I saw either stuff that she had been trained and had a good grasp on, or some very good gut instincts, and that made a huge impression on me. Just the fact that she was just to get an independent wrestler to do a promo is a challenge. It's a scary thing. I've got to talk now. Like, oh my God, public speaking is like one of the top fears, if not the top fear in human beings. So to have somebody not just do that, but do it in a way that kind of shines through. And she ended up winning that first contest. So it wasn't just me that thought that. It was the fans voting and the fans actually clicking the YouTube link that decided that.
Yeah, she's had something as far as connecting. I mean, I realized that up like the first time I saw her. And I'm glad she's doing pretty good, you know, being, you know, she's from Texas, I'm from Texas. And so I'm happy about that. Now, you, as far as doing a seminar, then you started talking about doing the show, and you guys did have a show, and you even had some of the Shimmer talent. I think Shayna Baszler, I think Nicole Matthews made a surprise appearance. Was there always the plan to do the show, or did that just kind of come along, or how did all that work?
No, that was everybody that may have been a surprise to the live audience. That was something that I had in place. Like there was nobody that was a, oh my gosh, you're here, let's put you on the show. That everything that happened on that show was by design. And that's something that will be a regular thing at Rise, because when you're dealing with what I've kind of branded as a prospective talent pool, people who have paid to do the seminar. And in some cases you might not necessarily know as a wrestling booker what you're getting until you're there and actually seeing them maybe work with someone that they haven't worked with 5,000 times before.
Yeah.
It's one thing to do a match with the person you've had 1,000 matches with. It's another to lock up with somebody who you've never seen before. Sometimes you get two completely different stories there. And bringing in the talent that we did, my thought was this is going to be a for sale DVD, Blu-ray, video on demand. You know, that's a part of the business model. So to control your match quality a little bit, if you put a couple controls into that experience, into that experiment, talent like Shayna Baszler, Nicole Savoy, Mercedes Martinez, Saraya Knight, Nicole Matthews, that helps you know that the things that you really want to have deliver come show day are going to deliver. Helps take some of the potential volatility of a show of largely rookies or inexperienced talents. It helps control some of those things that might have the train come off the rails a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I got to the Friday Night Shimmer show, me and my friends got there, and we were a little gimmicked up. So I'm walking to my seat, and I'm thinking to myself, why are there so many women at the show today? There's usually not that many women. And then I noticed a lot of them had crazy hair, like comic book hero hair. And then it hit me. It's like, oh, it's the girls from Rise. And a lot of them stayed the whole weekend, helped out, watching gimmick tables, selling pizza, doing all that. Was that always the plan, or was that just something that kind of was spontaneous and Dave's like, hey, you know, have the girls come and help out? And then a bunch of them, like, I guess like maybe half a dozen, maybe a whole dozen of them, got to actually be on the shows throughout the 3 days. Was that always the plan, or was that something Dave was like, hey, you know, let's go ahead, let's do this?
I would say it's a combination of some things that we thought of the idea without necessarily knowing the specifics. And I think some of the things ended up being plug and play when it got to really be the show weekend, after we got to see people in the seminars and the Rise show and what they could deliver. And I'll tell you, I didn't tell a single person that you need to stay all weekend. I can tell you that I really, really hoped that girls that are really looking to learn the wrestling business and make a good impression on Shimmer and all the other different companies that were around over the course of the couple of days, I kind of hoped that there'd be some girls that would stay the whole weekend, or at least stay as often as they could till they had the next book year. Maybe they had to get home for a more regular job or anything like that. I don't begrudge anybody that went home. I get that. I've got a life outside of the wrestling business, and sometimes that's got to dictate what you do and where you go. But I can tell you that the girls that stayed end zone to end zone that weekend are some of the ones that are the most glowing about their experience, not just at the Rise seminar, but they basically got a 4 and maybe even a 5 day seminar, because some girls came in like a day early. Some maybe didn't head out until the Monday after. But I can tell you what those girls got just by proximity over the course of the weekend. It blew their minds. And I mean that in a positive way. Like you could see you're all starting to connect the dots on some more complex elements of a wrestling match or putting together an entire wrestling show. It was great to see. Not just, I'm incredibly proud of how hard those girls work. I'll put my Rise 1 crew up against any ring crew in independent wrestling, and that is not hyperbole. They got that place set up and torn down in record time at Logan and at Berwyn. But to actually get to see those girls, I'm hesitant to say something like proud papa moment, but for girls that I didn't necessarily know from anything, I would say at least two-thirds of the girls, I didn't know who they were when they sent me the initial email. But to see that what they put into it and what they were able to get out of it through that effort, that was where it was a slam dunk for me that this needs to continue.
Yeah, I was sitting front row, right in front of, they were basically like the whole second row, and I was sitting right in front of them, and I could hear them talking to each other about all the different little aspects. It was very interesting and very, it was actually added to my enjoyment of the show on Friday just to be able to hear that and just, you know, and see how they were learning and appreciating everything. I thought that was really cool, and I thought that, like you say, that was a really good move for them to stay. And then, like I say, they didn't just watch. Like the first night, a lot of them just watched, but then the next day they were helping with the gimmick tables. They were. I bought pizza from the. Oh my god, I forgot her name. The girl with the pink hair who's like 17.
Oh, Dominique Fabiano.
Yeah, Fabiano, I bought pizza from her, and I talked to her for a few minutes about how everything was going and stuff. And, yeah, I was really impressed by that. I thought that was a really good move by that. And it paid off because, like I say, there was about, 12 girls that worked the show. And that's a lot of experience. That's a bigger stage for them to be on. And they all did great. I think that the main standout to me was Angel Dust, who I believe won the Rise Championship as on the show before, and you know that they were going to be wrestling for a title, or was that a surprise? That was since I wasn't there.
They did not. That was something that I'm a firm believer that I don't want to be the guy who's like, ah, kayfabe's dead, but I'm a firm believer that it is still possible to create very real organic moments in wrestling and get real emotion from not just fans, but also the talents themselves. And one of my goals was I kept that card very, very close to the chest. I would say for all the people in the Berwyn Eagles Club, there was single digits of people that knew that title even existed. There was also the factor of it was a very, very close race for that title getting actually to my front door from when it was crafted. Because I think most people could tell from the pictures, this isn't a replica title with stickers. This is actually great work from a guy named Christian Lanz in Germany through Belt Performance, and just beautiful, beautiful title belt. And then once we had it, I can tell you this much. I legitimately did not make the final decision on the final result of the show until about match 9. That day, because I wanted to see how the crowd responded, how the talent was going, and legitimately all the girls knew. And they, after the seminar, I pulled everybody to the ring and let them know this is the card that we would like to do. And girls in the four matches, I told them, all you're going to know is your match is hashtag FP0R. If you want to put out a tweet or something about that, but that's all I'm telling you is these four matches are considered hashtag FP0R. So the girls knew they'd be having a match. Like there was that much that was known that there would be a later match on the card. But I didn't tell them what the final result would be until very, very late in the day. And at that, all I said was, okay, this person, that move, da, 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 da. And that was it. And the girls all, so the four girls in the ring, Kate Carney, Angel Dust, Delilah Doom, and Britt Baker, found out that match was for what is now known as the Phoenix of Rise Championship. When I pulled the belt out of a bag that I'd already pulled, like merchandise giveaways and some snack giveaways just to kind of get cheap pops from the crowd. So the crowd thought the bag was empty. And then I ended up pulling this gorgeous, you know, gold plated or dual gold plate title belt. And people are just kind of like, oh, I guess they're serious about this thing. And at the end of it all, what a story. Angel Dust, a 10-year veteran who's kind of been in primarily one geographic area of the U.S., comes on this fairly high-profile stage for women's wrestling right before Shimmer and wins the title that she didn't even know existed.
By the way, she also found out she had a booking in Los Angeles in the ring at that moment as well.
Yeah, I thought she did great. She had a real fun match with Leva Bates, and that was great. Also, you had Stacy Blackheart. Did she? I was kind of doing stuff during intermission when you guys had kind of like made some announcements. Did she won an award or something also that night?
No, what that was Shotzi Blackheart is her name, and she's out of the Northern California market. And she came out for the seminar and just worked real hard and, you know, closed mouth and open ears and all the great things that you want to see. And she ended up wrestling Melanie Cruz in, I want to say, match two of the Friday night show. So that was, at that point, those were the only two girls from Rise that had a formal opportunity on the Shimmer show in front of the Shimmer audience. So that intermission was just recognizing that if you guys did not know who these two girls were, now you do.
Okay.
And basically this is what Rise is here to do, is to bring a new generation of talent, not just to Shimmer, but to all of women's wrestling. Because I'd wager that the majority of people in Chicago had never seen Angel Dust wrestle, nor had they seen Shotzi Blackheart wrestle.
Mm-hmm. And they both did great. I was kind of joking with my one buddy that I think Melanie Cruz's job is to beat up the young girls. Because she wrestled a Blackheart and then Kira Hogan on the last night. And I was very impressed by Kira Hogan. I thought she had a great – she looks like a superstar, in my opinion. I think she has a bright future along with Angel Dust. And a lot of these girls, a lot of them did really good. Now, you're having a show coming up in – or another seminar coming up in California, like you've been saying – who, and I'm sure it's going to be Colt and Soraya, but do you have any other people who will be on there besides the trainees that you're able to announce? Or what are your just your plans for this upcoming seminar and event coming up?
Oh, man, there's all kinds of stuff going on for this one. So Rise 2 Ascent is the name of the collective seminar and live event. It's taking place January 27th. We're doing a co-promoted event with AWS Promotions in Southgate, California, at the American Legion. All the event info is at rise-wrestling.com. There's an event info page for Rise 2. Colt and Soraya are back as a tandem for this particular seminar. And things that we have after last night, we can definitely say that the current TNA Knockouts champion, Rosemary, some may know her as Courtney Rush, but Impact Wrestling's Rosemary will be on the live event in Southgate, California. I can tell you at this point, Soraya Knight has asked me to hand pick her opponent from the seminar that day. So best wishes and my condolences to whoever that may be. Other things we have going on. Mercedes Martinez was at Rise 1, but she was in a secondary capacity. She was managing, along with Nicole Savoy, they were managing Shayna Baszler. Mercedes Martinez will be wrestling at Rise 2 Ascent. Shayna Baszler will be wrestling at Rise 2 Ascent. And I can say this much, there will most likely be at least one more surprise of a nationally / globally known talent. But I kind of want to make that a regular thing with Rise events, that you might not ever know what you're going to get. And I know nobody was at Rise 1 was necessarily waiting on the edge of their seat for the fabled skilled death artist number one, who we thought was no longer alive. And then furthermore, oh God, Nicole Matthews is on this show. Like, that wasn't exactly a slow pitch. I mean, okay, who's this person? Oh geez, former Shimmer champion, two-time tag team champ. Like, that was a pretty, for me, I thought that was a pretty good surprise and something that made a Rise show feel important beyond the scope of it's the first show and it's the first really kind of thing of its kind. Like, it's not the first seminar, it's not the first show with, say, students, but it's kind of the first mash of all of those things into one on a, you know, reasonably high profile scale partnered with Shimmer. So what I can tell you, names that you may or may not recognize depending on how familiar you are with like the Southern California scene, Shotzi Blackheart returns at Rise 2 doing the seminar. The Fallen Flower Kikyo returns at Rise 2. We've got Jules Malone is going to be in Southern California, even though she's probably more known from like the Toronto and some of that Canadian market. Jules Malone is at Rise 2. Sage Sin, Ruby Reyes, Buggy Nova, Holly Lane is coming in, and she's from more the Pacific Northwest. So and I guarantee I'm missing some names because I don't have any notes or anything in front of me, but at rise-wrestling.com, or if you look at the Rise Twitter, which is at RiseDTWA, I've got different graphics or mishmashes of pictures that I've got together that kind of show the participants that we know of thus far.
Mm-hmm. Now, we'll get back to Rise, and we can plug that a whole lot more, but I do have some Shimmer questions for you that I'd like to get out of the way. You were the announcer for Shimmer these past shows. Just real quick, how do you feel the events went in your mind as far as basically everything?
Well, I'll tell you what, clearly we would have all loved to have had more fans in attendance. You know, what wrestling show wouldn't like a packed house? It's just a different environment when you've got them hanging from the rafters, as Gorilla Monsoon was known to say.
Yeah.
I think in terms of a product, I think there was some absolutely stellar wrestling work in that ring. When you look at whether it was, say, the tags of a couple of the tag matches were just absolute gold. When you were looking at Slap Happy versus, I always forget the letters, Mia Yim and Kaylee Ray, WDS.
I had that as the best match of the weekend.
That match is like a holy poop chant just waiting to happen for anybody that watches it.
Yeah.
Just stellar match. And there's a lot of standout stuff. Mercedes and Skater, holy cow, two times over the course of the weekend. Anyone can read the results and probably, I'm not going to sit here and try to remember, my top five of the, 700 matches or so that I watched over a 4-day run of time. After you do announce match 90 or so, you kind of forget what you announced on Thursday or on Friday. But just the shows themselves, just some wonderful, wonderful things on there. Peek behind the curtain, I can tell you it was very high pressure from the ring announcer's chair, because I will say this much, that Shimmer in front of the fans versus Shimmer what I had seen on paper, that was probably the most changes between the last version of the paper that I saw and what actually transpired. And I forget what taping it was, but I was literally getting texted what match number 5 now was while match number 4 was in the ring.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to imply chaos or anything like that, but just a little bit of insight that sometimes from the fan perspective, as great as matches can be and as smooth as sometimes things hopefully look to the live audience, they saw me like, they may have thought, oh, God, is Kevin texting? Is he not paying attention? Like, I wasn't sitting there, looking at my Instagram feed or something at ringside or being a disengaged, SOB. I was actually getting fed like, okay, the next match actually isn't this, it's this, and this is now this. And I've got to thank really everybody in the back, but predominantly Lexi Fife and Stefan Bruyere were the ones that were kind of sending me these on-the-fly changes. And in fact, at one point, somebody probably saw me. I won't say I blow a gasket, but it probably wasn't my finest moment. But my phone was going off with texts and with phone calls for changes to the next show. I was trying to plug people's merchandise, and I had three different people at the same time going, hey, Kevin. So I finally just had to say, could three more people yell, hey, Kevin? That'd be incredibly helpful right now. So if hopefully no one saw me get a little bit whiny there for a minute. They did. I apologize because I probably slept a collective 17 hours in the prior 3 weeks. So I might have been a little bit salty at that. But the ring announcing, I always say everyone thinks it's the easiest job in the world. All you got to do is say a town, a weight, and a name. Like, no, Punkin, there is way more to it than that. And Shimmer, I will say this much. Having done ring announcing in professional wrestling since the late 90s and having done different high school sports and things for probably 3 or 4 years before that, nothing is like ring announcing. There is so much to coordinate on a Shimmer weekend. I mean, an average of about 10 or 11 matches per show, multiple shows per day, 30 to 50 talents, depending on which volumes that we're taping. That's a whole lot of information to gather and plus, trying to help the crowd not feel so burned out after they've also been sitting through, 95, 105, whatever it is, matches over the several days.
Yeah. Now, how hard is it to, because there was close to 40 people, girls on these shows. And it's like, do you ever, I mean, there obviously there were no flaws. You did a great job. But how hard is it to remember whose name and where they're from? And is it easy for you, or is it a struggle? Or I mean, because it looks like it's easy for you, but how is it really? Like, what's going through your head when you have to remember? And then, like you said, with all these changes going on, so it's like, how hard is your job, really?
It's not the easiest thing in the world. Now, I'll tell you this much. Even somebody that's done ring announcing on different levels, ring announcing a shimmer is a completely different animal. And there, you know, there's certainly some trade secrets and stuff that I have that, you know, not my first rodeo kid. I've got tricks up my sleeve and some things where I kind of stash the information that, you know, some people might catch it, some people might not, but it's there if, in case I completely blank out on something. And that did happen a couple of times on the Friday night show, because I actually was getting like dizzy and lightheaded from, you know, lack of sleep and proper nutrition and those things that a normal human being would take care of, but not the ring announcer on a shimmer weekend. But it's a challenge, but if I didn't love it, I wouldn't be doing it. And I absolutely love being in the middle of that ring on that microphone with those girls.
I'll tell you what, there's nobody in the world who could introduce Bender Kitty as good as you.
I've heard that there's been a couple places where different announcers have done the triple thunder thing, and I told Thunder Kitty, every time that happens, just make sure you get $5 and then just give me the, you know, give me the tips at the end of the day. I get royalties on that one.
Awesome.
That was definitely born out of forgiveness versus permission. Didn't ask anybody, just did it. It worked, so we all kind of went, all right, I guess I'm going to keep doing that.
Yeah, that part. You did that last taping too. Didn't you make a surprise, if I'm not mistaken, if my memory fits me right?
Yeah, the June taping, I was not quite back in wrestling yet, but, you know, whether you're in wrestling or not, if 40 of your friends from around the globe are 30 miles from your house, you kind of feel like a jerk if you don't at least go to say hi. So I actually went, I just popped by the Berwyn Eagles Club to say hi with a little bit of time I had that afternoon, and it happened to be, like, in the time window when Thunder Kitty was going to have a match. So praise God, I think it was Dave that just said, Harvey, you're here. You're announcing Thunder Kitty. I was like, okay, here we go. And that's we made the joke. And
I was gonna say, did Lenny know, or was it a total like a total surprise running on Lenny, or did he know beforehand?
Everybody that needed to know knew what was up on that one. It wasn't a complete shoot, but it was like, all right, this is what I'm wearing, so I guess I'm going to the ring in this. You know, the most professional T-shirt and jeans ever worn in a shimmer ring.
You still did a good job. You had mentioned the stuff with Skater and Martinez. And basically everything with the Australians and Trifecta was just incredible. The story, the booking, everything was great. I want to see if you agree with me on this. Chazza McKenzie, she's been real popular. I'd say she'd kind of be in the middle of the card. She's every trip she gets a little higher up, it seems to me. And she had those two matches with Shayna, and then also the match where she basically busted the back of her head open, and she looked like Ric Flair by the time the match was over. And to me, that, like, it could have been, you know, it could have been bad if she could have gotten hurt, but to me, it kind of like made it everything better. And to me, in my opinion, I thought Chazza McKenzie got made in that match, and she's now a main eventer. Which, you know, you're more into wrestling than I am. Do you agree with me on that, or what are your thoughts on Chazza McKenzie's performance, and do you think she was elevated to that degree from that match?
Oh, I absolutely do. I mean, just the fact that anyone's been around. I mean, if you look at Kelly Skater, she definitely went through phases of, okay, I'm new here to I'm new here and I've got a character, and now the character's starting to get over, and then things kind of evolved as the crowd kind of went with her. And I think with Chazza, we're seeing a different degree of the same thing. She's putting the work in. I mean, if you follow her on any form of social media, I don't know that there's 10 minutes in a week that girl's not in a gym or at least posting about the gym or something, but she's absolutely keeping herself in, you know, tip-top condition. She's wrestling all the time. She's traveling everywhere she can go. She's doing all the right things to sharpen the saw, so to speak. And that was the first I'd seen Chazza in over 2 years.
And I never thought anything ill of Shaza, but I would agree that the stock in McKenzie is a buy right now. Like it's peaking.
Yeah, it's like that. Like, you know, her busting her head open was an accident, but it's like one of those accidents that somehow just like paid off and made it more. And it was funny at the after party. You never seen somebody so happy to have almost died in a match. It was great talking to her after that. I think she felt that herself as far as her performance and the elevation of her position after that.
Yeah, she should be happy with everything that happened there. I mean, granted, I would certainly have preferred it. I'm sure she would have too if she hadn't brained herself on the floor of the Eagles Club. But it's, you know, and sometimes those things, do they add drama and flair? Yeah, but I'd really rather not have somebody take the physical toll. But taking that out of it, it's the performance. And at the end of the day, we talked about it a little bit with Delilah Doom. You cannot fake and you cannot force an organic connection between a talent and fans. That's something that takes time. That's something that somebody has to put something on the table that everybody wants to eat. They want to be able to sink their teeth into it. And whether that's a babyface or a heel, it's very similar on both sides. It's a different thing that you're doing, but you still have to be something bigger than yourself and bigger than everybody else in the room that commands their attention.
Absolutely. And I also think it affected and added to the main event of the final day with Martinez winning back the title, because you have the story where Shaza and Skater are partners, and then Skater gets the title shot, and there's the interference, and Shaza makes the save and runs off Shayna and Savoy, and that helps Skater win the title fair and square. And then they have the rematch, and you know that after what happened with Shaza that she's probably at the hospital and she's not there, and she wasn't, and you had the interference and you had Mercedes winning back. She wasn't there to save or help Skater this time. So it kind of, to me, it added also to the main event and made that storyline even better. So it's like, it's weird how something just out of the blue can happen and it just enhances everything.
And what I found is some of the best things that happen in wrestling, you can write names and matches down on paper all day long, but sometimes the stuff that just happens by happenstance and the right people in the right place at the right time, sometimes that's where the magic happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, to me, there was magic on those shows. I mean, as far as storylines, I thought I had the greatest time. I'm sad that the crowds weren't a little bigger, because, I mean, I hope I can keep going to Shimmer twice a year for the next 10, 20 years, you know what I mean? And with Rise, hopefully that'll help fuel it, because you'll be introducing more talent that can take, because I believe, I don't know, I mean, I can't say names for sure, but it seems like a good chunk of the current Shimmer roster is going to be maybe moving on to bigger places, and those spots need to be filled. And with Rise, that's a perfect opportunity for those spots to be filled by new people and stuff. So I think your thing came around at the perfect time, and it's like I hope that you have success with it and it keeps going, because women's wrestling is at an all-time high. There's more people watching it now because of what's going on in WWE, NXT. There's not just Shimmer. You have Shine, WSU, Queens of Combat, and, you know, I think – I'm very excited for Rise, because I'm hoping you guys can supply those new girls as other ones move up and stuff.
Well, and the idea is to keep it moving. Rise 2, it's on the books, like it's happening. Rise 3, I can't say a lot about Rise 3 right now, but let's just say something that I threw out is like a Hail Mary, it'd be awesome if this happened, but I'm not going to hold my breath, has evolved to, maybe that person might have the date. Holy crap. And if I can pull off what I want to pull off for Rise 3, you're going to be of lesser intelligence if you are a professional wrestler and you do not take advantage of the seminar at Rise 3 if that idea happens, because it's something that, to the best of my knowledge, has never happened before. And somebody that I would think – I'm going to be turning away plenty of men who would want to do this seminar too if I pull this off. But cart's in front of the horse a little bit right now. I can't really say anything more than that. Rise 3 will still be awesome, whatever it is. But if I can pull this off, people will be chanting holy poop before anything ever happens.
Uh-huh. Now, going back to Shimmer, I always give Dave a hard time about, like, because I know he gets there. He sometimes even shows up to the shows late and stuff. And he's, you know, as much stuff as you have and Lexi has, you know, Dave's the one with the most pressure on. And how is it dealing with Dave during the shows? Does he stay calm, cool, and collective, or is he just a mess backstage?
No, I don't think he ever gets to any point that I would call a mess. And I'll say this much. I've known Dave for closer to 20 years than 10 at this point. And I don't hesitate to say he's my best friend in professional wrestling and in life outside of wrestling. He's one of my most regular folks just in my social circle. I would trust him implicitly at all levels. And when you're friends with somebody on that level, you're going to see him at their best. And, yeah, you might see him when you need to kind of help reel him in. But, yeah, being a wrestling promoter, especially the scale of a Shimmer event, that's very, very high pressure. But now it's when you see things like, oh, okay, a talent got hurt. Yeah, you're going to get fired up because you're concerned about the talent, but you also have to kind of keep the show going or figure out what you've got to change. And sometimes it's not just that show. It might be the next 8 shows, depending on what kind of injury happens or who's involved in it. But it's something where he does have a lot on his mind, but he's also been very smart in that he's surrounded himself with a heck of a support structure with people who can help pick up different fumbles along the way if they happen. At the end of the day, it's his company and it's very high pressure for him, but he surrounds himself with a lot of people who he knows can wear a lot of different hats and help put things back together if it needs to be.
Yeah, I gotta give a hand to Dave because he took a few minutes right before the second taping on the last day to get with me because I had they had the hoodies and the jackets that they were selling, and I had bought a couple for a couple of my friends, Leva and Mia, and apparently they got them before I gave it to them. So I was trying to figure out, you know, what was going on that they buy, you know, when I was trying to straighten everything out, and I was trying to get with Dave. And you know, right before the taping starting, David came over to talk to me and made sure everything was straight and everything was that, you know, they weren't going to get charged, that it was taken care of, that I was the one that took care of their jackets and so on. So, and, you know, I thought that was really cool because he didn't have to do that. I mean, he's, like I say, he's about to start doing commentary on a match in a minute, and he went out of his way to talk to me. I think I have the most utmost respect for Dave. I consider Dave a good friend. I mean, he's been real generous about coming on my show many times. I've also booked a lot of the girls on Wrestling Observer Live to promote the Shimmer shows for him. And, you know, like I said, I was worried talking to him last night. He was so down, and talking to him today, that made me him being more up and a little more, you know, into the, you know, looking positively into the future. I mean, that really made my day. I was like, I say, cause like I say, Dave's awesome. Dave's the man. He deserves so much more credit than he gets for just what's going on in women's wrestling and everything else, man. So it's like, I really appreciate Dave and everything.
And I'll absolutely add to that. And I'll say this, taking all friendship out of it and looking at things far less objectively, as somebody that quite technically for Dave Prazak and Shimmer Women Athletes, I have been a performing talent. I have been, you could say office if you want to. And I have seen him firsthand interact with his fans. And from any one of those perspectives, whether it's somebody who I am working with or working for trying to put a show together, somebody who I am performing a role on the show for, or somebody that has seen him and his care for his fans and his product, Dave Prazak deserves every bit of recognition he has, and then double that, triple that, quadruple that. Because I can tell you right now, there would not be a Rise without Dave Prazak and Shimmer Women Athletes, and I am not oblivious to that. And I'd thank Dave every day for it if it wasn't a little bit awkward. There would be no Rise. There would be none of the other things that I've got in the pipe. Hell, I probably wouldn't have necessarily even come back to wrestling if there wasn't a Shimmer and it wasn't Dave, because he was the very first phone call when my life situation changed in a way where wrestling was going to fit back in it. And I said something similar in something on social media last night. I forget what, but in my opinion, and this is not meant as a dig on WWE, I'm a fan of WWE. I'm so glad to see so many of my friends having opportunities and seeing what seems to be a positive wind of change for the largest stage in professional wrestling. But in my opinion, the word revolution, or what a revolution is not decided by a marketing department. A revolution is decided by history. When you look back and say, this thing that did not believe its own hype or did not call itself this as it was happening, you can look back and say, this happened. And over the course of time, efforts, energy, just sleepless nights, blood, sweat, tears, and every other metaphor I can put to it, when you look at history and say, what sparked the revolution in women's wrestling, WWE had a part in that on a grand stage. It started with Dave Prazak.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, totally. I mean, basically this past week you had the main event of Raw was women, and the main event of TNA Impact was women. And 10 years ago, there's no way you could tell me that that would happen. The two major wrestling companies would be main evented by women. You know what I mean? So you're absolutely right. The women's revolution was started by Dave Prazak. And, you know, there's been other people and places that have helped elevate it to the level it's at. But at the core is Dave Prazak. And I hope more people realize that and give him the credit he is due. And I hope WWE one day sees that and offers to buy the library. And I think there's rumors that they want to add independent wrestling to the network. And if they want to do it right, they should go to the best. And right now the best is Shimmer, in my opinion.
Oh, with women's wrestling, there's no doubt in my mind. Now, obviously, I have a biased opinion here. But I think even if I try to take my obvious personal and financial interest in the success of Shimmer out of it, I think I'd still say that when you look at the level of talent and what you get on a show and global talents. I mean, people from, if not every continent, like at least three or four different continents in Berwyn, Illinois, of all the towns in the world. Like it's great as shows as there may be in Tokyo and Japan and some other places. Like it's a global central point for the best talent in the world. Not, I'm from Japan. I mean, you know, Florida. No, like flew from Japan to the United States that day. Like that's a phenomenon that happens organically. That, to me, that's what makes Shimmer what it is. It's everybody from all over the world coming together to selflessly do something special.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to ask you, what can you tell me or tell us all about the WrestlingPipeline.com?
Oh, you saw that, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, what I can tell you is, there is a website, WrestlingPipeline.com. Right now, it looks very suspiciously like Rise-Wrestling.com, but... That's a website worth keeping your eyes on. There's a Twitter account and a Facebook account worth keeping your eyes on. At Pipeline WTDS. So Pipeline WTDS. And what I'll say is this. Rise is not one standalone thing. It's a very important thing devoted specifically to developing tomorrow's women athletes. And there are more things in the pipeline that are directly related to Rise. And the wrestling industry is going to want to keep an eye on that because WrestlingPipeline.com is going to be a hub for something that has never quite been attempted, at least not in the United States and I believe the world. It's going to be very, very interesting. I've still got some final details and some final partners that I need to sort out some information before I can publicly say that. But keep your eyes on WrestlingPipeline.com and the social media accounts because we're not really doing just one thing. We're doing several things in the interest of making sure that the future of pro wrestling is in good hands.
Awesome. That sounds awesome. Now, before we start to wrap up and let you get your final plugs on, I want to give you a free open platform to just talk about anything, whether it be women's wrestling or regular wrestling or just a message to the fans or to the wrestlers themselves, if you'd like to go ahead and do that, I mean, please go ahead.
I would say this, that I've said many times that the vision of Rise when it first started was, I will invest in a product to give talent the opportunity to invest in themselves so fans can invest in the curiosity of what the future might look like. And I said that the future looks pretty good beforehand, and coming out of Rise 1, I'll say it looks even better than I thought it did. So for the girls that are investing in themselves and basically are my free commercials right now on social media, thank you for taking the time to invest in yourself and to listen to Colt and listen to Saray and all the other trainers that will probably be coming in the future that are going to be doing different seminars and things. Thank you to them. Thank you to, most of all, to Dave Prazak. Like I said, without him, this whole thing wouldn't be happening. Saraya Knight and Colt Cabana, the two of them, it wasn't the name Kevin Harvey that sold a seminar. Nobody asked any questions about what I'd be doing. The name Saraya Knight and Colt Cabana and the pedigree that they bring, they sold out Rise. They were the draw. They are the reason that took off. I was lucky enough to have an idea that was a little bit different than what anyone else was doing, but I am incredibly fortunate that I have a network of people inside the business of professional wrestling that want to share my vision to develop a future generation of women's wrestlers. I've got a giant crop of those women athletes, those tomorrow's women athletes, that are just salivating at the chance to improve themselves and to one day get to that Shimmer platform. And at this point, I've got a couple of hundred, if not a couple of thousand fans between the social media people who are at the show. And actually today, Rise 1 is available on home video, and we've seen a lot of orders roll in already for that. So if you have done anything to contribute financially to support the business model and the vision of Rise developing tomorrow's women athletes, thank you. That I'm humbled by it. I'm excited by it. And I have never been more fired up to be a part of anything in professional wrestling as I have been to basically have a hand in the creation of Rise, to have the partners that I have to help me get it off the ground, and to already have seen that feed over 12 talents directly into Shimmer. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And I'll tell you what, get with me about a week or even 2 weeks before the Rise 2, and I will do my best to get maybe one or two of the talents appearing or on Wrestling Observer Live, and we get some advertising through that. That might be able to help. And I can also get anything you want plugged in the Wrestling Observer Daily Update. I can get that thrown in there too. So just like anything you need, just send it to me, and I'll do my best to get it on there, and hopefully that'll help.
That'll be great, and we'd love to see as many people as we can in Southern California. Southgate, California, January 27th is Rise to Ascent. Tickets, front row $15, second row $10, general admission $5, free meet and greet, rise-wrestling.com. You can click on shop and get tickets there. You can go to facebook.com/risedtwa and click shop now. Follow us on Twitter at risedtwa. There's basically, if you go to any presence we have on the internet, you're going to find those tickets. And I would venture a guess that in Southern California, you are hard-pressed to find a Friday night's entertainment for a $15 ticket, let alone a $5 ticket. Last I knew, we were at about half or maybe two-thirds of the front row was sold out for Rise 2. And I know definitely a couple of ticket orders have been coming through today after Rosemary winning the Knockouts title last night. So we're very, very happy to have Rosemary and Mercedes and Saraya and all the talents and Colt back for the seminar. It's going to be a good time. So if you are in Southern California or you are within reach of that, if your girls are maybe aren't in NorCal or SoCal, get a car full of your friends, load it up, head to Southgate, California, because the value you're going to get by being at that seminar, don't take my word for it. Take 40 different girls who have no financial interest in Rise whatsoever's word for it, that it changed their wrestling lives for the better, change the way they look at things. And we've got girls that are repeating the seminar with the same two trainers. And I think that says something when you've got girls flying across the country to do another seminar with those same two people.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And if you want to go ahead and plug, if you have any other social media things you'd like to plug, please go ahead and do that now.
Yeah, I will say in addition to me, we're partnering with AWS Promotions. You can find most of the updates there at Bart AWS on Twitter. They also have a Facebook page. The event, Don't Bring Your Replica Title to Our Event. AWS returns to Southgate, California. They had a standing room only show just last weekend. Very happy to be working with Bart and the AWS crew. That's our co-promotion for Southern California. That's just going to be a great time and a great weekend. And we've got a lot of the Rise talents that will also be appearing at the AWS event. So that's going to be great. I've already plugged pretty much all of the official Rise social media for me. I'm at on Twitter for my personal accounts, which are honestly mostly Rise-centric information anyway, at Kevin Harvey WPWC. And then the same thing on Instagram at Kevin Harvey WPWC, which is like a couple blips from my personal thoughts, but for the most part, just trying to keep things moving forward with Rise. And of course, like we already said somewhat cryptically, just keep an eye on WrestlingPipeline.com and the Twitter account, because there's going to be a whole lot of news there. And I'm hoping within the next couple of weeks, and I'll say this much, what I thought was going to be a 2 to 3 year business plan when I started Rise in terms of aggressive expansion, that 2 to 3 years is probably going to happen in 2 to 3 months.
Awesome. That sounds great.
So in addition to that, thank you guys for having me on. I always appreciate an opportunity to talk wrestling in general, but especially products so close to my heart like Shimmer and Rise. So always a pleasure.
Yeah, if you do another co-event with Shimmer, I will definitely make sure that I get the time and I get to go out to it, and I won't miss it. I very much regretted it after I got to Chicago, and I won't miss it again. I guarantee you I will be there if you do it with Shimmer. And thank you for taking the time to do the show. I appreciate it, and I want to wish you and Rise and everyone involved in Rise the best, and hopefully we can talk to you in the future and have more good things to say about everything.
All the best to you too, Ed.
Have a good night, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Adios.
Bye-bye. Okay, I think that went very well. I don't have another co-host on the line, so I don't really like doing solo shows by myself, so I'm going to go ahead and start to wrap up the show already. I think I haven't done this in a while, so let me get the plugs out there. Everyone, check out angrymarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at angrymarks.com, along with a lot of other podcasts. So shout out to Stevie J and angrymarks.com. You can also download and stream our show at blogtalkradio.com/Cotrere and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. And you can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo. And you can follow me on Twitter at Ed in San Antonio. And we will be back next week. I do have someone I'm going to try and book on the show. I haven't actually talked to the person yet, so I'm kind of falling behind, but hopefully we'll have a guest next week. And if not, hopefully hang all together. It's been a while since me, Couture, and Craig have all done a show on the same day, so hopefully we can get that taken care of, get back on track here. I know Craig's been working like a madman, but hopefully that'll come all together. And I want to send a shout out to my good buddy Mia Yim, Jade, and TNA for being in the main event and having an awesome match with Rosemary, Courtney Rush, and the spot of the year, Mia Yim flying off the top of the cage with the velocity of a nuclear missile. She was moving so fast. And shout out to Courtney Rush for not letting Mia Yim die and catching her. It was an awesome catch, and just that was fantastic. So shout out to that. I was so happy watching that this morning when I got the chance. So, yeah, that was awesome. And we will talk to everybody next week. And we'll talk to you then. And, of course, like always, I can never find the damn theme music that I want to play. And here we go.
This you can keep. This is what I brought. You may forget me. I promise to depart. Just promise one thing. Kiss my eyes and lay me to sleep.